Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Politicians fight about every issue. On religious freedom, there should be no argument.
It was the first American freedom. We have a First Amendment right to live out our faith 24/7, not just on Sundays.
The government can't tell me how to practice my faith.
But now government is doing just that. You're free to worship God, but not to serve your neighbor. The federal government is forcing Catholic employers to add sterilization, contraception, and abortion-inducing drugs to their health plans, forcing them to violate the law, violate their faith, or stop serving others. And state laws have passed that would prevent religious charities from serving undocumented immigrants, even with food, shelter, or medical services.
The government can't force me to violate my beliefs inside or outside the church.
To learn more, visit firstamericanfreedom.com or text the word freedom to the number 377-377 now. Standard text messaging rates apply. Paid for by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops.
O God, our Creator, from your provident hand, we have received our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have called us as your people and given us the right and the duty to worship you, the only true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the power and working of your Holy Spirit, you call us to live out our faith in the midst of the world, bringing the light and the saving truth of the gospel to every corner of society. We ask you to bless us in our vigilance for the gift of religious liberty. Give us the strength of mind and heart to readily defend our freedoms when they are threatened. Give us courage in making our voices heard on behalf of the rights of your church and the freedom of conscience of all people of faith. Grant, we pray, O Heavenly Father, a dear united voice to all your sons and daughters gathered in your church in this decisive hour in the history of our nation, so that with every trial withstood and every danger overcome for the sake of our children, our grandchildren, and all who come after this great land will always be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is a prayer from the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and the website firstamericanfreedom.com. The USCCB, as you just heard, produced that new radio spot, which is now running on Ave Maria Radio and a number of other radio networks around the country. Joining us to talk more about this is Paul Long with the Michigan Catholic Conference. Hey, Paul, how goes the battle?
Good morning, Teresa. It's a good day. It's a good day here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the outreach of this spot. How many networks and where is it playing? I know it's playing, of course, obviously on the Catholic radio stations, including ours, but where else are we hearing this?
It's playing around the state. It's playing in the Detroit area, in Grand Rapids, here in Lansing, up in Marquette, and on a radio show that's broadcast, that originates here in Lansing, but's broadcast in various spots around the Lower Peninsula, across the Lower Peninsula. And so it's really, the spot is having an opportunity to hit almost everywhere, and here, you know, for everyone to be able to listen and hear throughout the state.
Now, is that similar in terms of what's happening in other states around the country?
You know, I don't know what is happening in other states, and to be perfectly honest. I know that the USCCB had this. They approached various state Catholic conferences around the country to see what kind of interest there might be in a media-driven campaign with regard to religious liberty and keeping that issue in the forefront of people's minds over the coming months. So I know that the offer was made to various places around the country. I don't know who else might be doing it.
In terms of the impact, what are you hoping for?
Well, I'm hoping that what we're hoping for is that the issue of religious liberty, which has been really in the forefront of the church's advocacy efforts for the past 12 months and really in the last 9 months, that issue, that we're able to keep that front and center in the minds of people as we move through the next couple of weeks and as we move through the next several months, because this is going to be a very critically important issue. Regardless of the outcome of next Tuesday's election, the issue of religious liberty is one which is going to remain with us because it is part and parcel and is a component of so many issues that we are fighting for, with regard to marriage issues, with regard to grants to our Catholic agencies around the country, with regard to the HHS mandate in particular, with regard to programs and services that the parishes, schools, and charity agencies across the country provide to immigrants, and especially the undocumented. There's legislation here in our state and around the country that would have an impact upon the canon law and its application to how that's applied in within the church. And so all of these issues raise the issue of religious liberty up to an extent that people really need to be aware. Catholic people in particular need to be very aware of how important and critical this issue is at this point in time in our country's history.
Do you think it's coming across? Do you think people are getting the message, Paul?
Well, I think so. I think that I've been hearing it in parishes the last several weeks. I've been to several different parishes in the last month because of various family events and a little travel. I've heard it everywhere I've been, whether I've been in parishes in the Archdiocese, parishes here in the Diocese of Lansing, up in Gaylord. I'm hearing that message, and I'm hearing so I think it is resonating. I think Teresa, we do an essay publication here at the Catholic Conference entitled Focus. And we've done one, we've done three now leading up to the election. One in August that was entitled The Issues, the Candidates, and Your Vote. One in September, Forming Consciences for Religious Liberty. And one here in October that focuses on the six ballot questions that are on the ballot next mm-hmm. week, ballot proposals. And we have sent nearly 500,000 copies of those out across to parishes across the state because they've called and they've requested them, the majority of which are the issues in the candidature vote, of which religious freedom is a prime important issue that's discussed in that document, and then the religious liberty, the one from September, Forming Conscience for Religious Liberty. We sent, of that one alone, we've sent 200,000 copies because the pastors and people who think about what they want to put into their parishioners' hands at election time have called and asked for that. So the issue is certainly front and center, I think, in front of it. It's certainly being presented to be in front of people. And I think that with the attention that's been put on the issue, since the beginning of the year, that I think it is soaking and I think people are getting it.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have a call from New York. Brother Nicholas is on the line. Where are you in New York, and are you okay?
Yeah, we're good. I'm in the upstate area, so
okay.
I'm doing all right. My name is Brother Nicholas. I live and work out here to the Carmelite Order, but I'm a son of Michigan, born and raised, and I still vote out there. And one of the things I grew up with is a union mentality from a union family. And over the years, I see the union, especially the UAW, going further and further away maybe from Catholic notions in terms of social justice. And what is the Michigan Catholic Conference doing to maybe help educate union and union members, especially with this last batch of contracts? They have this multi-tier system, which is really sort of destroying any solidarity within the union. And pretty much it's a driving force in Michigan politics still to this day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good question. Paul?
I'm sorry, what are we doing to educate?
Yeah, educate, if anything, is going into the unions in terms of outreach because of all the, the Catholics who are, obviously because they work for the auto industry and other industries that are covered by unions. Is there a specific outreach going to unions, or are you trying to do that through the pastors or the churches that may have a lot of union members? I think the question is a concern of the unions and the impact they may have.
Right, I think that, we are working with the parish. We work directly with the parishes and the diocesan offices, and we rely on the people at the local level then to know their people and then to reach out in the areas that they need to reach out to at that local level. And so, for instance, when I said that we've sent nearly 500,000 copies of Focus out, those are stuffed in parish bulletins, those are left in pews, those are sent in parish mailings to parishioners. Various parishes have a variety of ways with which they distribute those. And never in my time, in my 24 years here, have we had such a demand for this public, these publications that we do at election time. And so we're very, you know, I feel that we're, you know, the Holy Spirit is working here with regard to providing information to people, regardless of where they are across the board and where they work or how they work. But, you know, if they're going to church, if they're, you know, or if they might not be going to church, but they're on a parish list, they might be getting it in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
That we're making sure that these issues are front and center for people.
Yeah, and I think it's the consistency. So I was glad to see these ads because, of course, after the vice presidential debate, when you had the vice president and the USCCB responded, which was unusual, that's not something they normally do. They put out a very strong statement the next day after the vice president's statement that the church, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have his quote in front of you, but you know to what I'm referring, when he said,
yes.
Oh, nothing to worry about, we're going to be fine, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that is just so frustrating, Paul. All of your work, all the work of the USCCB to educate, and one statement like that can do a lot of damage.
Well, it can, and I think that's why it was very important that the USCCB did respond. And as you said, Teresa, it was really an unprecedented action
mm-hmm.
on their part, especially to speak out so quickly and to make the record clear that you know this issue, this HHS mandate issue, is critically before us, and it is having a significant impact on the work of the church and the life of the church.
The website is really good that is associated with the new spots, firstamericanfreedom.com. How new is this website?
It's been in development for a bit of time with the USCCB. They've been trying to figure out ways to draw people and drive people to a specific site that speaks to the issue of religious liberty. And so it'll be growing over the coming weeks and the coming months. There was a self-contained page on the USCCB site that during the winter and spring of the year and throughout the summer. And the thought was is that we need to move people to one specific spot, and this is the development of that.
Yeah, it's really well done. Because it has three sections, learn, pray, and act. And so it gives you the background, what you need to know, why this is important, gives you the prayers, and then it gives you also, in addition to the action item for praying, it gives you action items out there in the culture. So it's very, very simple to follow, and it has all the tools you need.
It's very helpful, and I think you know that's what they've tried to make it as simple as possible to provide as much information as possible and give people something that they feel that they can act upon, whether it's prayer or whether it's writing letters or making phone calls or whatever. I think that the notion is provide an opportunity for people to understand the issue and then provide an opportunity for people to act in one way or another.
And in terms of what we can do individually, would the best recommendation, Paul, be to go to that website and get more information?
Absolutely. That would be the best. Or coming to the micatholicconference.org, there's a link there to take them right there, or to read on our election page, which provides thoughts about these religious liberty issues and others that people ought to be thinking about as they head to the ballot box.
Well, listen, thanks for this. Appreciate it. Good work, and let's keep putting the word out there. And again, the website for more information is firstamericanfreedom.com. firstamericanfreedom.com. Paul Long, of course, the executive director of the Michigan Catholic Conference, working directly with dioceses around the state of Michigan to get the word out regarding religious freedom. This website, though, this new one from the USCCB, really good, very simple, very clear. Learn, pray, act. Go to the website, firstamericanfreedom.com. Thanks, Paul.
My pleasure, Teresa. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
God bless. Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo with a reminder that winter is right around the corner, so be prepared for the season by making sure your power equipment is in good shape. That's why we recommend our friends at Weingarts for everything from lawn to snow. The owners of the company are devout Catholics, big supporters of advancing and upholding our Catholic values in the community. And it's a family-owned and operated business that's grown successfully over 67 years to several locations in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, Clarkston, and Ann Arbor. They're proven experts who can help you assess the right power equipment that you need for the job you want to get done. And they maintain and repair equipment as well. They also provide parts guidance for replacement parts and offer delivery service with setup and usage demonstrations. So visit Weingarts.com to see all of their specials or call and talk to someone who really knows about power equipment. And remember to tell them you heard about it right here on Catholic Connection from me, Teresa Tomeo. Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian Brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio.
Welcome back. Catholic Connection, it's EWTN. So excited to have Lila Rose on with us. She is just an amazing witness. She's young, she's dynamic, and she is been taking Planned Parenthood to task for many years now, and boy, has she got some guts, and I'm just so proud of her, and I'm very proud of what she does. She's always at the March for Life. I get to talk to her down there and interview her for EWTN. It's just an honor. And Lila, thank you, first of all, for all you do, your great work with Live Action, and just who you are as a sister in the Lord trying to make a difference. Thank you for doing what you do, first of all.
Well, Teresa, thanks for having me on and being so encouraging and getting the truth out on your show. I think having that consistent voice out there is so important. So I'm in good company. Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that was on your website the last couple of days in preparation for the interview. You said you've got, and we were chatting during the break, that you've got a very interesting video coming out tomorrow regarding one of the very sad situations and developments at Planned Parenthood in Chicago. Tell us about that, first of all.
Sure. Well, I can't say too much, but I can tell you it's about Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood's safety record. And what a lot of women don't know is the fact that abortion not only harms emotionally and spiritually, but can maim physically and can sometimes kill. And Planned Parenthood, you know, they're the biggest abortion chain in our country, and they purport themselves to be this women's health care provider and protector, you know, out there for the safety of women. And that's part of their whole bid for taxpayer dollars, is that they say that they're there for women and they're the trusted place to go. I mean, it's all in their messaging and the way that they talk, they advertise themselves. But the reality is, I mean, even just 2 months ago, a young girl named Tonya Reeve was killed at one of their clinics in Chicago. And no one knows Tonya's story. Few people know her face. But Planned Parenthood is trying to keep that from millions of American women, because they don't want any woman to ever doubt that abortion isn't this great solution to any problem they may have. So in defense of that extreme support of abortion rights, as they call them, they're willing to even hide the truth from millions of women about women like Tonya. Tonya was 24 years old. She went to a clinic in Chicago. She ended up bleeding for 5 hours internally in the waiting in one of their rooms. Planned Parenthood did not call the emergency, 911. Often they're too embarrassed to do it because they don't want it to cause a scene outside the clinic. Finally, when Tonya was looking like she was near death, they called. They didn't tell the hospital or the paramedics what was going on, that she had just had an abortion, that she may be hemorrhaging. Tonya ended up hemorrhaging to death at the hospital, and before they even figured out the perforation in her uterus. And she left, this beautiful girl left behind her one-year-old son, Alvin. Her mom is now suing Planned Parenthood for their negligence. I mean, the story is so heart-wrenching, but people don't even know this, and this is the kind of danger that women are in every day when they walk into Planned Parenthood.
Did it get, I know it got some coverage in the Chicago papers and on the wires, but it seemed to be limited to the fact that she actually, her death, and Planned Parenthood had a statement saying, "We regret, blah, blah, blah." I forget their actual statement. Did it get much more coverage beyond the minimal amount that we saw?
No, and that's the thing. I mean, some women in the Chicago area may have seen it reported locally, but I mean, nationally, we're talking about an organization that's been, Planned Parenthood, that's been plagued by scandals, Teresa. As you know, you've talked about many times all the different, you know, the biggest abortion chain, the cover of sexual abuse. They're radically, I mean, the president right now is going out and campaigning for, the president of Planned Parenthood is campaigning full-time for President Obama because she wants more pro-abortion support. And so all of this, you know, they're so high profile, and yet when they kill a woman, a 24-year-old woman, because of gross negligence, then they're going to go out and you know, tell women that abortion is safe, that abortion is, they can come and be, it is, a Planned Parenthood is a trusted place. It's just not fair. Even on TV, when you see a commercial about some drug or some new medical procedure or whatever, they talk about the risks. Planned Parenthood never talks about the risks.
Are we getting the message out about their problems and about their record? Do you think their armor is beginning to crack at least a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, Planned Parenthood has the profile of the organization good for good and for bad. And good, I say that, you know, obviously not true good, but they're claiming to do good. It has been raised so much. And so many more people are aware that they're the biggest abortion chain. They're aware that they're closely identified with abortion. It used to be that some people didn't even know Planned Parenthood does abortion. We're making those numbers less. Even Vice President Joe Biden, in one of the recent debates, he said, you know, he accidentally almost used Planned Parenthood instead of the word abortion when they were talking about, you know, women's issues. And just things like that, where Planned Parenthood is becoming synonymous with abortion, and some of these scandals and these health risks and these attacks on young girls and the sexual abuse cover-up, these things are getting out. I mean, we have to keep speaking about it. We can't give up, especially not now. They're a billion-dollar organization. They have a public policy budget and development budget of over 100 million. So it's up to us to make sure that women and, you know, people all across the country, taxpayers, families, know the truth about the organization.
All right, let's go to the phones. If you have a question for Lila, give us a call, 877-573-7825. And again, their website, liveaction.org, is a great resource for information, not just on Planned Parenthood, but what's going on in the abortion industry in general and some of the cover-ups that have been uncovered thanks to the amazing work of this young, dynamic team of pro-life activists. Michael calling from New York on line one. Good morning. What's your question for Lila?
Hi, Oya. Great work on both of you. New York City now is, what they're going to do is they're going to provide, they have a program in place, or they're trying to put a program in place, the New York City Council, where they're going to provide escorts to women who are going into these abortion clinics. It's unbelievable. And, of course, a quote from the article, it says, well, we need to do this to ensure the woman's safety. It's amazing that city governments get involved in this, but I was just wondering if I could get a comment on that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, first of all, the stories of Planned Parenthood workers and escorts who have tried to run over pro-life counselors, who have slapped, I mean, I've been outside a clinic and I've actually been hit by a Planned Parenthood escort. I mean, these stories are everywhere. And the reality is pro-lifers going out to pray and counsel and protest, they're the peaceful one. And, you know, this is a tactic by the city council, it sounds like, to basically make pro-lifers scared and intimidated that they're somehow doing something wrong. That's their freedom of speech, to go outside a clinic and to warn women of how dangerous and harmful abortion is, and to stand up for the rights and the protection of those unborn children. So I think it's offensive. I think it's an unjust move by the city council. And, you know, any kind of ordinances that restrict pro-lifers from standing up for life outside clinics and trying to protect and save unborn lives and help women, I think that those are completely unjust. Martin Luther King Jr. has said, you know, an unjust law is no law at all.
All right, we have to take a break in about 30 seconds, but let me ask Mary's question for her. Mary from Columbus, Ohio, is concerned and wondering how to respond to people saying they're going to vote for particular, pro-abortion candidates who support Planned Parenthood because Planned Parenthood provides all of these life-saving tests. And in addition, of course, to them claiming that they do mammograms, which we now know for an actual fact is very, very false. You've heard of this argument before, I'm sure, Lila. Oh, they do all these great screenings, and they're all about women's health.
Well, I think, first of all, debunk the parts that aren't true. Planned Parenthood doesn't provide mammograms. They're only a level one breast care provider. They can only refer women out. There are 7,000 federally qualified health centers across the country who provide much more care than Planned Parenthood ever could or will. They provide comprehensive care for men, women, and children. Planned Parenthood is a radical pro-abortion organization. And when it comes down to it, you know, they try to mix a couple free medical services with their root service, which is abortion, their root, you know, activity, which is abortion. That's not justification for women to trust them. They don't deserve women's trust. They hurt women. They hurt young girls. And American women need to know about it.
More with Lila Rose, and we come back. And you, if you have a question, 877-573-7825, and visit liveaction.org for the latest. We'll be right back.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor, Bob and Jennifer Dunlap. In Thanksgiving for their six children, and to celebrate November as National Adoption Month. All God's children are beautiful, and adoption is a gift. You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
At Franciscan University of Steubenville, our professors challenge their students intellectually, form them professionally, and feed them spiritually. World-class scholars, Franciscan professors hold doctorates from prestigious programs and number 4 Fulbright scholars among them. They publish widely, hold numerous patents, and present at leading academic conferences. Our faculty, one more reason Franciscan University of Steubenville is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
Steve Ray and Father Bob Rovenbuch on Ave Maria Radio's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land.
Father Bob, you and I have traveled to the Holy Land together before. You're a great guest along the way and a great spiritual director. Can't wait to do it again.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. The last trip was one of the highlights of my life, and certainly my priestly ministry to be in the Holy Land with you and Janet. It was really incredible.
Rome is great. All these other great places are sacred sites, but the nice thing of Israel is this holy ground. That's where God himself walked.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus walked in those steps at the Sea of Galilee. I mean, he stood on the sea that we'll sail on. You know, it's really amazing. And when you go to the Holy Land, it comes alive in a way that it doesn't just reading it or even hearing it at Mass. I learned more about the Holy Land and about the Scriptures in those days we were together than I did in the years I was in seminary.
Ave Maria Radio's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land with Steve and Janet Ray will be January the 28th through February the 6th. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to learn more and stay tuned to hear more stories from Steve and Father Rogenbuch.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio.
Welcome back. 28 minutes past the hour. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Please check us out online at EWTN.com. The show is produced by Ave Maria Radio. You can also find us at AveMariaRadio.net. Appreciate your support for our networks, and also for the great work of people like Lila Rose. Chris calling from Akron, Ohio on line 3. What's your question for Lila? Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Lila, I'm not your relative, but yet I'm proud of you. I just want
you to know
the things you're doing are absolutely wonderful. The thing I want to ask you is, there was, and I don't know which bishop this was, that spoke out and explained it with the stances of the party.
That was Bishop Papricki, Chris, of Springfield, Illinois. That was a great letter. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And my question is, how do we approach the rest of the bishops to do exactly the same thing? Because I just read something on the blogs, Catholic blogs, where a priest would not, I guess he was actually putting out information to vote specifically for a certain candidate that we know has no business being, you know, running our country. But anyhow, the situation is that I think we're failing at the churches to get this, to lead the horse to water, to know their faith. You know, I was at a Mass and they were talking about your conscience and being a faithful citizen, and not one word was talked about on abortion or gay marriage or any of these major issues. Not one word was spoken about it. It was almost like it had been vanillaed out of the conversation. And if I walked out the door not knowing my faith, I probably vote the wrong direction.
All right, so your question is, how can we help get this word out in the churches and from the pulpit? So it's a good question. I think it's something we continue to ask and to work toward. Lila, any ideas?
Yeah, well, I think that it's such a good question. And first of all, it starts with each one of us, the laity. It starts with each person in the pew. And, you know, our pastors, our bishops are good men trying to do what's right, but they need encouragement, and they need to see that people in the congregation, people in the parishes support them. And, you know, the boldness will come. We have to pray for them every day. But I think that making sure that it starts with us. We do our job because we have a responsibility, just like the bishops, to speak the truth with love and to be active in public life. And so we need to go out there, and we even have, in a way, more of a responsibility than the bishops. The bishops may say, you know, to be active in public life. And so we're supposed to go out there, and we're supposed to vote. We're supposed to educate every person in our church. You know, let's do the lead setting. Let's approach our pastor and say, hey, we want to, you know, do this, or we want to have a separate event and talk about the candidates and talk about the issues. And we want to make sure, you know, we are doing things in our community, in our neighborhoods. Maybe we're doing leafleting. But this is a crucial election. And it's so important that people understand where the candidates stand and what, you know, things like Obamacare would mean for the unborn child, what some of the policies of the last 4 years have meant for the unborn child, what the other candidate, what his policies would mean for the unborn child. So looking at that and making sure that people around us know, I think the responsibility starts with us.
That's beautiful. And also, Chris, if you stay tuned, at the end of the show today, I'm going to have another letter from one of our great leaders, Archbishop Chaput. He actually wrote, this is his latest column, let me correct myself, that he wrote in the Catholic Philly. You can find it at CatholicPhilly.com. A couple of other letters. I mentioned Bishop Papriki of Springfield, Illinois, had a fantastic letter. Archbishop Myers of Newark did a beautiful teaching, a pastoral letter on marriage, on the whole issue of the sanctity of marriage as God ordained it between one man and one woman. Archbishop Wensky, EWTNNews.com, talked about him this morning, and a great letter he put out. So one of the things to take up Lila's suggestion is to maybe, Lila, get those letters, put links in the church bulletin, put them on your website, ask the pastor if you can maybe write an article summarizing some of the great resources to get the word out there, right?
That's a wonderful idea. And make sure that your church doesn't just talk about the pro-life, respect for life, the killing of the unborn child, the protection of the dignity of woman, you know, during an election. We need to form the people next to us to understand these fundamental, you know, human rights and natural law, what God intended. And this is a deeper question of catechesis and a deeper question of what Christ really wants for his people and his church and in relationship with each one of us. So I think having, you know, making sure your church has a respect life ministry that's robust and active and reaching out to the women in the community and the men, doing, you know, teaching our young people about sexual integrity and restraint, teaching and, you know, teaching, going to the abortion clinic, praying there every day, making sure that women in the community have resources in case they're scared and alone and pregnant, and all of that needs to be a part of the church, the life of the church every day.
Amen. And speaking of reaching out, Sue wants to share a little bit, excuse me, of her story. Sue from Mansfield, Ohio, calling on line four this morning. Hi, Sue. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. Thank you for lifting up life. May 3rd, 1978, I went to Columbus, Ohio, a scared 20-year-old prompted by Planned Parenthood, who did, in fact, call my infant in the womb a blob of fetal tissue. I took their sad counsel, and I aborted my infant son, who I've named Gabriel Timothy Bishop, and Gabriel means God is my strength. But I have since come to the true knowledge of the truth through Jesus Christ, and my infant is not, he did not die without a purpose at this point in my life. And as a result of that abortion, and they did not, way back then and still do not today, tell women what they're risking when they do this. And you are absolutely right. There are physical, emotional, spiritual issues that go far beyond that one moment in time. You know, I walked into that clinic thinking I was going to come out unpregnant, and all I came out was the mother of a dead baby. And I want, you know, we have to remember that God created that life in his perfect image, and every infant is valuable. Every woman who is in crisis needs to be loved and prayed for and encouraged. And as a result of that abortion, within 48 hours, I was in the hospital twice, hemorrhaging and had a raging infection. 6 years later, against, you know, battling to not let it happen. I was so badly damaged during the abortion that I had to have a complete hysterectomy, so I am childless.
Oh.
I partner in a ministry with another lady who, just to give you the fact that the odds, they don't put out there what's going on, but she's also childless as a result of her abortion. She could never have another child. She has none on this earth. We each have one in heaven. There will be a reunion day one day.
Mm-hmm.
But Planned Parenthood, I tell people it's the Goliath in the land. And, you know, there is a stone one day that's going to bring it down. But in the meantime, we do need to be vigilant. We need to not let the political rhetoric of seemingly godless politicians say that, oh, Planned Parenthood is great. They're all for women's rights. I see these commercials.
Yeah, Sue, we lost you there, honey, but thank you so much for that beautiful testimony. And I don't know what else to say. That says it all. When a woman calls up and gives her story, and thanks be to God, she's been able to get healing and get help, and now she's out there making a difference. And that's the other thing, Lila, too, to listen to some of the stories of the women and the men who are post-abortive.
Absolutely. Those stories, Sue, thank you for your courage. And, you know, women who have those stories and are willing to speak out for the sake of other women and other men and for everyone, it's so beautiful and such a gift. And, you know, I don't know, Sue, if you've told your story beyond that, but just something for you. We have, you know, new projects coming up that are telling the stories of some women who've been hurt by Planned Parenthood. And
can
so
they go to your website at liveaction.org?
Yes,
okay, good.
Yes,
Lila, thanks so much.
Email.
I wish we had more time. We'll have you back on. Lila Rose from liveaction.org. Keep up the great work. You are amazing. Lila Rose from Live Action. Check out the new video that's coming up tomorrow on the website, liveaction.org. We'll be right back.
Crest in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like to introduce you then to Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services can be provided for up to 24 hours per day, and you may even select your caregiver before services begin. More details and franchise information is available at visitingangels.com. And that's visitingangels.com.
This program is brought to you in part by the generous support of Ciena Communications. Ciena introduces a plan to give you a mobile phone with no contract required. There are no hidden fees, and with Ciena, using your mobile phone helps the culture of life in America with no additional cost or effort from you. Everyday mobile phone living becomes effortless giving. More information can be found at ProLifeCatholic.com. That's ProLifeCatholic.com. Charity begins at phone.
If you want your children to receive a superb Catholic education and grow in their faith, please come to the Spiritus Sanctus Academy Open House. Visit either the Plymouth or Ann Arbor locations Sunday, November 4th from 1 to 4 p.m. Spiritus Sanctus Academies are warm, enthusiastically Catholic K-8 schools led by the Dominican Sisters of Mary. For more information, visit our website at spiritussanctus.org and see what a great Catholic education can do for your family.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Gallup is surveying early voters and finding that a key component of President Obama's re-election plan is missing. Early voters say they are going for Romney by a fairly wide margin. While it is clear that every vote counts and the Electoral College race could be incredibly close, pro-life political activists report seeing over the last few weeks a change in attitude, less desperation, and a greater sense of making a difference for the future. Dr. Judith Reisman is a visiting law professor at Liberty University School of Law and a renowned expert discrediting Alfred Kinsey. Additionally, her work with four administrations in the U.S. Education, HHS, and Justice Departments lends credence to her statement that current White House education policy is starting to align school curricula with the FBI profile of sex offenders. Parents will want to take note. This is Life News Radio. The life issue needs you. When you take the time to make a well-informed stand, you may be surprised how many details come to life and how you become willing to naturally share that information in simple conversations. One of the best places to get started is probably your local church community. Another resource, our website, lifenews.com. Think through your position on life, make a stand, and get ready to be part of a culture of life. Nearly at the end of the 40 Days for Life campaign, campaign leaders are noting subtle changes in the responses from civic communities and abortion clinic staff members. Besides nearly 500 children saved from abortion, 40 Days for Life counts three staff members who have called it quits and left the abortion business altogether. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Great book for the year of faith. Really good stuff. Seven essential principles for Catholic scripture study. Word of the Lord from our Sunday visitor. Readers are presented in this book with a uniquely Catholic approach to Bible study. Overlaying scripture study with an explanation of how it relates to Catholic faith and beliefs, the book also delivers concrete answers to frequently asked questions by non-Catholics. So this might even be something for someone who maybe is considering coming into the church or has a lot of questions about the Catholic faith, or maybe if you're in a marriage where your spouse is not Catholic and you want to share the understanding you have and the love you have for your Catholic faith, I can think of a number of ways to use this beautiful book. Hey, Doctor, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hi, Teresa. It's so nice to be with you this morning.
All right, so let's talk about the reasoning behind writing this book. Perfect tool for the year of faith. Was that something you had in mind?
Absolutely. In fact, this book, The Word of the Lord, I start researching it when, in 2008, the Roman Synod was working on the question of the place of the Scriptures in the Church. And then in 2010, Pope Benedict came out with his apostolic exhortation called The Word of the Lord, Verbum Domini. And so, in many ways, this book is certainly a nod to one of my own biblical heroes, Joseph Ratzinger, our beloved Pope Benedict. And so, in many ways, the impetus behind it was some of that work in Rome and some of the work of the Pope and his letter, Verbum Domini, which gave us so many magnificent instructions. But I think for some Catholics, it can be pretty heady to read. It's beautiful. And so what I'm trying to do is, I think, for everyday Catholics, is distill the Church's teachings on Holy Scripture. And as you said, especially in this year of faith. I was just reading today's Catholic, the newspaper, and Bishop Rhodes opened the year of faith with the Mass at the year of faith, and his opening words were very appropriate. I believe, Lord, I believe. Mm. And that's really our approach to the faith, and it's our approach also to the Scriptures. And I think that's what we try to do in this book, is give Catholics a faithful, believing approach to the Scriptures.
Well, I think what's really neat about this book is you have in each chapter quotes from the popes, fathers of the Church, saints, and passages from the Catechism of the Catholic Church and how it relates to Scripture. That's really, really important, and that's why I think reading the Bible every day, especially with something, a tool in addition to a book like yours, but also, for example, the Magnificat or the Word Among Us or One Bread, One Body, when we can understand, the Scriptures from a Catholic perspective.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think our Sunday visitor and I were trying to figure out exactly how many quotes we could squeeze in to help Catholics read Verbum Domini and read, again, Dei Verbum on the 50th anniversary. And I've lost track myself, to be honest, but I think we've got over 50 quotes from Verbum Domini alone. So on every page, people are going to be getting really the message from the Church. And I want to say really clearly to your audience, I'm very grateful to have this book out, but really they're not my, the subtitle, Seven Essential Principles for Catholic Scripture Study. They're not my own. I mean, at best, I'm trying to be a humble ambassador of them. They come from the Church's Scripture documents. They come, as you said, from the popes and from the councils. They come from the Church Fathers. So we have this magnificent tradition, Catholic tradition, and it can really help us and guide us and shape us. We're called to be shaped by the Word, and that's really what this book is all about.
How did it, with the knowledge and the gift that the Church has given the world, with forming the canons of Scripture and with the Mass being entirely biblical, from beginning to end, with the history of and the studies that we've been given by the great saints such as Aquinas and Augustine, and on and on and on about the Word of God and the influence of it in the Church in our lives, how did we get to a point where so many Catholics just don't understand the Bible or don't still in this day and age? I mean, it's getting a lot better thanks to people like you, Dr. Hahn, and Patrick Madrid and others, but to the point where Catholics have been accused of being unbiblical when just the opposite is true. Everything we do is from the Bible.
Yeah, it's a question I've pondered a lot, like I'm sure you have, and I don't know that there's one simple answer. I think it's a lot of things. I mean, I grew up myself Catholic. My wife grew up Catholic. We both left the Catholic faith, unfortunately, in our early 20s, like a lot of young adult Catholics, kind of searching for truth. Ended up at a seeker church. I grew up in Chicago and ended up at a big seeker movement church called Willow Creek, probably a lot of your listeners may be familiar with that. And my wife and I actually met there, so took a great gift back with me out of evangelical Christianity, which was my wife, Elizabeth. But I think for me, we went to Mass, you know, we prayed, we certainly, you know, were faithful Catholics. But I think the Scriptures were something that you sort of, you experience, they're read to you in church, but they're not really your own, you know. And I think for Catholics, we need to sort of remind ourselves that this is our book. I also think that there's so many messages coming at us from the culture, not only the secular messages from the culture of death, but really just, you know, radio pastors and preachers and so on, and not all of them Catholic. And I think for a lot of people, they're confused. Then you throw into the mix, you know, news stories and hype like this, you know, the so-called papyrus or the, you know, the wife of Jesus thing. And Catholics are just left scratching their heads, you know, as to what do we believe? Do we still believe? Someone asked me, do we still believe the Scriptures are inerrant? You know, I have a whole chapter in here on, yes, we really do. But I try to explain that in a way that's commonsensical. And so hopefully this is a sort of another one of those books that's a one-stop shopping place where you can get a nice, clear presentation of what the Church teaches about Scripture on things like inspiration and inerrancy, tradition and Scripture. The Old and New Testament have several chapters on what is the larger story of the Scripture. So the seven principles really sort of hang together. And as I said to a parish recently, if you've read Jesus of Nazareth and thought, gosh, the Pope sees so much when he reads the Scriptures, I can't guarantee that this book will help you to think like him, but it'll put you, I hope, a little bit more on the pathway to the Pope's approach, because those are the kinds of principles when the Pope writes Jesus of Nazareth that he's drawing upon, these 2,000 years of rich tradition and prayerful tradition of reading the Scriptures with Christ and with the heart of the Church.
He has done a phenomenal job of really making us aware of the beauty of Scripture and getting to know Jesus in a very personal way through the Scriptures, in addition to really helping us, I think, with a deeper understanding of the sacraments. But all of his writings, don't you think, Doctor, have been very focused on that personal relationship with Christ in the Word of God?
I couldn't agree more. You know, I'm very grateful to have a biblical scholar friend, Scott Hahn, who wrote the foreword, and he said that about Pope Benedict. He wrote a book about Pope Benedict's biblical theology and reminded us, for the, you know, really the first time in the history of the papacy, we have a world-class biblical scholar. I mean, to pause, all popes know Scriptures well, but let's face it, I mean, long before he was pope, Joseph Ratzinger was this great Bavarian German theologian who wrote so many books that so many people have been touched by. And even more recently, Teresa, in this Year of Faith, he said this, what the world is in particular need of today, this is in his letter on the Year of Faith, what the world is in particular need of today is the credible witness of people enlightened in mind and heart by the word of the Lord and capable of opening up the hearts and minds to many for the desire for God and for true life, life without end. And I think the Pope would probably be the first to say, I'm not only talking about, you know, the other cultures and other religions and atheistic people and so on, but even people within our own community that need to be enlightened by the word of the Lord. So, you know, we have this new evangelization going on now, and it's I agree with you. It is a very exciting time, and it's wonderful to have, you know, many, many more resources available for Catholics today to step into the door of faith, as the Pope said, in a deeper way.
Well, you're a pretty smart guy. You're a PhD. So is Scott Hahn. And people are thinking, oh, these guys are brilliant. I can't read a book like this. It's going to be way over my head. What say you to that kind of concern?
Well, you know, the funny thing is I actually used this book in my classroom, and I love our seminarians, but I always say our seminarians are hungry, and they came from the same cultures everyone else is in, and they come with sometimes the most deep questions, but also the most basic questions. Dr. Smith will say, you know, what do we really believe about the inerrancy of Scripture? As I said, this whole chapter on that in here. But I try to use a lot of practical illustrations. I'll give you one example. In trying to think about how what the Church specifically says about inspiration, I used an example from a modern TV show. Some of your listeners may be familiar with this adventurer guy, Bear Grylls, who, you know, drops into like Alaska with just nothing but a knife. He's got to get his way out. Well, one episode, he was trying to get across a frozen lake, and he just couldn't do it. He was slipping and sliding. So anyways, he had parachuted into the place, and he took a parachute that he had. Well, he's nice to have a parachute, but he made like a makeshift windsurf thing with this wood and branches, and he basically used that to get across the lake. And it was amazing to watch. They filmed it, and he was flying across. But I use that as an illustration of the book to say that's something of the way that the scriptures, the way the scriptures are inspired as we understand it. That is to say, God provided the wind, the breath, the divine spirit. There is nothing that happens in the sacred scriptures without the divine breath. So the scriptures are, that's the first chapter, God's word, divine words in human language. But it's also important to remember that it's a human dimension as well. There's a, you know, just like Bear going across the lake on this makeshift windsurf. He had to steer it. He had to use his knowledge of, you know, being a parachutist mm-hmm. to be able to steer it and use his strength and his capacities. It's the same way with the Word of God. It's nothing happens without the divine spirit, but the human authors who are enlightened by the spirit are really using their full human capacities, personality, insights, and so on. In presenting the Lord and presenting the Gospels. And that's just one example. Try to give some other ones. It's also, there's some practical questions at the end of each chapter. Like I talk about Philip and the Apostle Philip, who, you know, goes to the Ethiopian eunuch and opens up the scriptures.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful.
I do too. And so one of the questions in the book is, who have been the Philips in my life? Who have been the people who have, you know, been an inspiration to us, thanking God for them, whether it's a grandmother or dad or mom or priest? So there are a lot of questions at the end of each chapter that could potentially be used for personal study.
Book could be a Bible study.
Yeah, that's great.
Doctor, we have to wrap up. Thank you so much. All the best with the book. It's published by Our Sunday Visitor, OSV.com. Word of the Lord, 7 Essential Principles for Catholic Scripture Study. Up next, we'll hear from, in writing, Archbishop Shapu of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia on being a good public witness. We'll be right back.
Steve Ray and Father Bob Rovenbuch on Ave Maria Radio's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land.
Father Bob, you and I have traveled to the Holy Land together before. You're a great guest along the way and a great spiritual director. Can't wait to do it again.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. The last trip was one of the highlights of my life, and certainly my priestly ministry to be in the Holy Land with you and Janet. It was really incredible.
Rome is great. All these other great places are sacred sites, but the nice thing about Israel is this holy ground. That's where God himself walked.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus walked in those steps at the Sea of Galilee. I mean, he stood on the sea that we'll sail on. You know, it's really amazing. And when you go to the Holy Land, it comes alive in a way that it doesn't just reading it or even hearing it at Mass. I learned more about the Holy Land and about the Scriptures in those days we were together than I did in the years I was in seminary.
Ave Maria Radio's Pilgrimage to the Holy Land with Steve and Janet Ray will be January the 28th through February the 6th. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to learn more and stay tuned to hear more stories from Steve and Father Rogenbuch.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
At birth, you bring your children into the Catholic faith.
I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son.
You nurture their faith as they grow.
Prayer is about an encounter with a living God.
Unfortunately, many young adults lose their faith in a secular, anything-goes college culture. At Franciscan University of Steubenville, your child's college years will be a time to grow in the Catholic faith. With its 40 majors and vibrant Catholic culture, Franciscan University is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Wrapping up on a Tuesday morning. Again, you can find out more about Dr. Smith's book at osv.com. I want to give you another great resource in terms of helping us form our conscience as we go into this very, very important election. Archbishop Charles Shapu from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Go to CatholicPhilly.com for his latest column, Public Witness and Catholic Citizenship. Public witness on issues of public concern is natural for Catholics because we have a commitment, he says, to the common good and to the dignity of each human person. Those two pillars, the common good and the dignity of every human person, come right out of Scripture. They underpin all of Catholic social thought. That includes politics. Politics is where the competing moral visions of a society meet and struggle. And since a large majority of American citizens are religious believers, It makes sense, the Archbishop says, for people in communities of faith to bring their faith into the public square. As a result, if we believe that a particular issue is gravely ill and damaging to society, then we have a duty, not just a religious duty, but also a democratic duty, to hold accountable the candidates who want to allow that evil. Failing to do so is an abuse of responsibility on our part, because that's where we exercise our power as citizens, most directly in the voting booth. He goes on to say the separation of church and state can never mean that religious believers should be silent about legislative issues, the appointment of judges, or public policy. It is not the job of the church, the Archbishop explains, to sponsor political candidates, but it is very much the job of the church to guide Catholics to think and act in accord with their faith. So, he says, since it's an election year, here are a few simple points to remember, the Archbishop says, as we move toward November. And if you're just tuning in to Catholic Connection, I am reading the latest column from the Archbishop of Philadelphia, Charles Chaput. You can find it at CatholicPhilly.com. Number one, Catholic is a word that has real meaning. We don't control or invent that meaning as individuals. We inherit it from the gospel and the experience of the church over the centuries. If we choose to call ourselves Catholic, then that word has consequences for what we believe and how we act. Archbishop Chaput says we cannot truthfully call ourselves Catholic and then behave as if we are not. Number two, being a Catholic is a bit like, he says, and this is a great analogy, being married. We have a relationship with the church and with Jesus Christ that's similar to being a spouse. If a man says he loves his wife will want to see the evidence in his fidelity. The same applies to our relationship with God. If we say we're Catholic, we need to know that by our love for the church and our fidelity to what she teaches and believes. Otherwise, we're just fooling ourselves. But God certainly won't be fooled. Number three, the church is not a political organism. She has no interest in partisanship because getting power or running governments is not what she's about. And the more closely she identifies herself with any single party, the fewer people she can effectively reach. Number four, Scripture and Catholic teaching do have public consequences because they guide us in how we should act in relation to one another. Again, Catholic social action, including political action, is a natural byproduct of the Church's moral message. We can't call ourselves Catholic and then simply stand by while immigrants get mistreated, the poor get robbed, or even more fundamentally, unborn children get killed. If our faith is real, then it will bear fruit in our public decisions and behaviors, including our political choices. And finally, the Archbishop says, each of us needs to follow his or her own conscience, but conscience does not emerge miraculously from a vacuum. The way we get a healthy conscience is by submitting to God's will, and the way we find God's will is by listening to the counsel of the Church and trying honestly to live in accord with her guidance. If we find ourselves frequently disagreeing as Catholics with the teaching of our own Church on serious matters, then the Archbishop says it's probably not the church that's wrong. The problem is much more likely with us. In the end, the heart of truly faithful citizenship is this. We're better citizens when we're more faithful Catholics. Archbishop Charles Chaput, his latest column on being a good public witness. Go to CatholicPhilly.com and we'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Clark St. Everest Collegiate High School was recently named one of the top 50 Catholic schools in the nation. To see why, attend their upcoming open house on November 2nd. From 7 to 9 p.m. Open house includes teacher presentations, guided tours through the campus, parent and student testimonies, and more. The open house is November 2nd from 7 to 9 p.m. For more information, call 248-241-9012 or visit joineverest.com.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray.
One of their many satisfied patients is Father Deacon Lawrence Hendricks.
I was one of the first patients to receive a Sarah Crown from Dr. Kennedy. The Sarah technology allows for restorations to be done in one visit. They always use the most advanced techniques in dentistry. I've always enjoyed the friendly staff and the personal relationships that I have at Ann Arbor Smiles.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Don't miss the car loan trade-in sale going on right now at Catholic Vantage Financial and Michigan Catholic Credit Union. Most people think they already have a good rate for their car loan, but not everyone realizes that they can do even better at a Catholic Credit Union. Our rates are so low that people are bringing us their car loan from other lenders. Not only will you save money, but you'll be part of a credit union that gives back to your Catholic community. At Michigan Catholic Credit Union and Catholic